morning.
Good morning.
How's everyone doing?
Peachy.
Good, peachy. All right, let's get this thing started. So in your Bible will be Proverbs chapter 2, verse 10, after we pray. 10 through 22, we'll finish the chapter. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Father, for giving us this day. This is the day that you have made. And just because we know that, God, we can rejoice. You're in control. You're the one that commands the sun to rise. We can't even do the littlest things. But it's because of that, God, we've placed all our trust in you. And we know, God, you love us. And we know you're working everything out for the good. So we thank you. We thank you so much. And Father, I thank you for hearing our prayers. I'm so thankful for those that we are seeing back at church today. What a beautiful thing it is, God, to be reunited with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I just thank you for keeping us safe and healthy. Thank you for seeing us through our colds and our flus and our injuries. Thank you for seeing us through the treacherous weather. Father, we're grateful. So grateful. Father, we thank you for how far you've carried Gary and his family through his treatments. And we pray, Father, you'll continue to bless his recovery. We pray, Father, you'll bless his immune system. It'll continue to be strengthened. And we pray, God, that you would protect him from anything that would attack his body. Father, we want to pray for Miss Phyllis. We pray, Father, that you would deliver her from whatever's causing her to be dizzy this morning. We pray, God, that you'll heal her and the rest of her day she'll be well. Father, I thank you for blessing Leanne this week and seeing her through, God, when she was in a place that could be dangerous for her. Father, thank you for giving her strength and even delivering her from temptation. Father, I thank you for giving us strength in the inner man, Lord, where we need it so desperately. And Father, we want to lift up a prayer for Trevor. Father, I want to pray that you would deliver him from anger, from any root of bitterness, Lord, that may cause him to head in a direction he shouldn't go. I pray, Father, that he would understand the forgiveness that we have in Jesus Christ so that he would be able to pass on forgiveness to others. Lord, that he would be set free. Please continue, God, to bless Leanne and her family. Please continue, God, to draw them to yourself. Even now, as we pray, God, I pray that her children would remember the name of Jesus Christ. Yes. Father, we want to pray for Tyler and his wife. Father, the things that they've been through, very few people can understand. Their only hope, God, is for you to intervene because you are able, God, to change people's hearts. You're able to change people's lives. You're able to restore and to heal. So we pray, Father, for them that you would indeed intervene. And Father, if it's possible, I pray that their marriage wouldn't end, that they would be reconciled. And Father, we want to continue to pray for Teresa. Father, we thank you that things are not as serious as she thought. And we do pray, God, that she would find comfort and healing in treatments that are less than surgery. And so we pray, God, you'll bless her appointment that's coming up this week. And I thank you, God, for providing for us that we can go to the doctor and get checked and get what we need. We really are blessed people. So, Father, we thank you for that. Father, thank you for giving us time to study your word together. As we read, Lord, and as we study, please teach us. Please help us to grow in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. And it's in his precious name that we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, let's go. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 10 through 22. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Amen to that. Understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and who are devious in their paths, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house leads down to death and her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness. For the upright will dwell in the land and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the earth and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. So last time we were talking about seeking wisdom, studying God's word. And you remember the three ifs and the then. If you will search for her as silver, if you will cry out for discernment, if you will, what was the other one? Let me peek. If you will receive my words and treasure my commands within you, then you will find wisdom. That's a promise. Searching and studying God's word and crying out for discernment and knowledge. We need it. And we need it, as we learned last week, so that we can understand what is right and what is just and what is fair and what is good. What's the right path to take? That's the positive side of acquiring wisdom. We need it because it guides us. Today we're going to look at the negative side of acquiring wisdom. We need it so that we can also avoid some things. We have a couple enemies. Wisdom has enemies. And the two are mentioned in this section that we read. The wicked man and the immoral woman. Let's read verses 10 and 11 again. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you. I find that as you grow in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, as you grow in your love for God, you will find that His Word becomes a delight to you. It's something that you look forward to reading and spending time in. Despite all the distractions and the temptations, spending time in God's Word and prayer becomes your heart's desire. It's something you look forward to. When I'm at work during the day, I can't wait for the day to be over so I can get over here to the church so I can get in the book and start reading. It's the highlight of my time. And when verse 10 and 11 say, when it becomes pleasant to you, when it becomes your desire, what it does, then God's Word starts to provides protection for you. Discretion, in verse 11, discretion is the ability to think things through. See, immature and foolish people, they don't think about the consequences of their actions. Discretion helps you think things through. Discretion helps you avoid danger. And we could say it like this: truth protects you from evil. Truth protects you from evil. A couple of verses come to mind. Three things in Ecclesiastes, the very next book. You know I've been studying Ecclesiastes. And we're told here in Ecclesiastes 7:12 that wisdom is a defense. Wisdom is a form of self-defense because it protects you when you think things through. Self-defense. Ecclesiastes 9:16. Then I said, wisdom is better than strength. Wisdom is better than strength. So if I'm in a jam and I only have enough time to either go to the church and read my Bible or go to the gym, where do I go?
Church.
I go to the church and read my Bible because wisdom is better than strength. Well, a lot of people, they spend too much time on the wrong things. That's all I'm trying to say. Wisdom is better than strength. And then Ecclesiastes 9:18 says, wisdom is better than weapons of war. So what I'm trying to say in all that is wisdom is a defense. Wisdom protects you. Discretion will guide you. Understanding, it keeps you. Wisdom will guide you and guard you when it becomes the delight of your heart. Isn't that the truth? Wisdom will guide you and guard you when it becomes the delight of your heart. That's the Bible truth. Let's read this little section in Psalm 19. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11 says, the law of the Lord is perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. So beautiful. So much benefit to walking in God's wisdom, not doing it your own way. The wisdom of God protects us. Verse 12 says in Proverbs 2, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. And they are all around you.
Yes, they are.
They are everywhere you go. To speak perverse things means to speak fraud, to speak distortions, to misinterpret, or to turn upside down. Pervert things. You have to remember something, guys. We live in a fallen world. And it's usually nice for us because we hang around all our Christian brothers and sisters. We love them, and it's nice, and it's sweet, and it's safe. But you can't forget we live in a fallen world. And the Bible says there is none good, no, not one. And you can't let your guard down. Yes, we are told that we're to love others and even love our enemies, but you can't be gullible. You can't be gullible and believe everything that you hear, because there's wolves out there. There's wolves out there. There are, right at this moment, there are people out there who it's their heart's desire to destroy somebody else. You remember the words of Christ in Matthew 10:16. He said, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise." Wise. "Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Right? See, our wisdom, we want to be wise as serpents, but not to hurt people. Right? But to save, help people get saved. But we're not there to hurt people. We're there to help people. But there's wolves out there. Jesus said so. Wolves out there. Another verse, I was thinking about from Acts chapter 20. When the Apostle Paul was leaving the church at Ephesus, I remember he told them this was the last time they were going to see his face. And they all started weeping and hugging each other. He gave them this warning in Acts chapter 20, verse 28. "Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves." And this is why we need the protection of wisdom so badly. When we're walking in wisdom, and wisdom is guiding us, protecting us, when you hear something that's not right, a red flag will go up, and you say, "Hold on a second, that didn't sound right." When you're walking in wisdom like that, when you're walking in the Spirit, you shouldn't ignore those things. You shouldn't ignore those things. Because the wolves, they can come from outside, but you always got to be careful, because just because this building is called a church, doesn't mean a wolf can't walk in here. Beware. Because here's the thing, the wolf isn't going to tell you he's a wolf. "Hey, how's it going? I'm a wolf." That's not what a wolf does it? What does a wolf do? He pretends to be a sheep. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 13 says, "From those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness." I want to remind you that evil flourishes in the dark. It flourishes in the secret. In secret. They hide their true intentions. They lie. They pretend. When a scammer from Nigeria calls you to sell you insurance on your dryer
that you don't have
to sell you a warranty on your 20-year-old dryer, he doesn't say, "Hello, I'm from Nigeria and I'm just calling to take some of your money." Right? They lie. By the way, never believe anybody that calls you and asks for money. For heaven's sake, hang up the phone. People that you can trust, they don't call you trying to get money from you. No. They don't want credit card numbers. They don't want social security numbers. Don't you ever fall for anything like that.
You say hang up, but I know somebody who likes to mess with them every single time.
I take as much time on the phone as I can so they can't be calling somebody else.
All right.
You
can do that. You can do that. This is for the person who doesn't remember that wolves pretend to be sheep. They don't announce they're a wolf. And by the way, there are preachers out there that are promising people things if they'll give them all their money. And it's still a scam.
Yeah.
It's still a scam. They're still wolves. It's only going to get worse. It is getting worse. We're going to talk about that next. Thank you for the intro.
Yeah.
It's only going to get worse. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 14. Who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked. So there's been a lot of well-known preachers that have been falling lately. It's been going on for a couple years now. They keep falling. Guys that people love or have loved. A couple years ago, there was Max Lucado, who everybody's probably read a Max Lucado book, and he'd read a bajillion of them. But a couple years ago, he was invited to speak somewhere at a conference, and there was a backlash against him because of something he had preached years before. So he came out and publicly apologized for preaching against homosexuality. Yeah, he apologized. Just this year, the last few weeks, another guy fell. Everybody that I watch on YouTube and stuff has talked about this now. His name is Alistair Begg. How many of you have heard of Alistair Begg? Okay, Alistair Begg, very well known, very solid. Everybody has known him to be a solid preacher. He came out, and he's the one who told the story. It's recorded. You can hear his own words. A woman asked him about going to her grandson's wedding, who's gay. It's a gay wedding for her grandson. And he told her, and in the recording, it's kind of funny because the first thing he says, I know a lot of people aren't going to like this, which should have stopped him from saying what he was about to say. But he told her that she should go and that she should buy them a gift.
A Bible.
Because he said, a Bible. Because he said,
it's true.
And then asked to do the toast.
Because he said her show of love may shock them. And that is backwards.
Right.
That's backwards. Because as we just read here in verse 14, it's wrong to rejoice in doing evil. That's not the loving thing to do. Okay? If I could show you in another place in 1 Corinthians 13, which is actually the Bible's description of love. You can look at the description of love and you can find out what love actually looks like. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 6. 1 Corinthians 13, 6 says, speaking of love, right? Love does not rejoice in iniquity. Love does not celebrate sin. And a gay wedding, that is exactly what is taking place. Okay? It's actually a celebration of sin. It's a celebration of sin. That actually is what the whole thing is for. And love doesn't celebrate sin. That's not the loving thing to do. To affirm or to encourage people in their sin is not the loving thing to do.
So I'm thinking you can still love them, not support them.
Absolutely.
Right. Exactly.
Exactly right. There's thousands of other ways you can show love to the person without celebrating the person. You say more to them in a loving manner by not attending. And they can get mad if they want to. That's between them and God. Okay? You have to do the right thing between you and God. And the right thing between you and God, the Bible says, is you don't rejoice in sin. You can't do it. I mean, what are you going to do at the end of the ceremony when that first kiss takes place? You know, when everybody claps, when everybody claps and cheers. See, it is rejoicing of sin. There's no two ways about it. And if you go, you're encouraging it. The Bible is very clear that approving of those who do evil is just as bad as doing it yourself. In Romans chapter 1, verse 32 says, there's a whole list of sins given here. And then in verse 32 it says, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them.
So that's guilt by association.
Yes, absolutely. You're just as guilty approving of those who do them as doing them yourself. Well, and if I could just say this, because I don't want to just be, you know, harping on just one thing. I mean, I don't think that a believer should marry an unbeliever. And so I don't think a pastor should do that wedding. And if you knew that that person, a believer, was marrying an unbeliever, you shouldn't go to that wedding either. Because you're encouraging them to do something the Bible specifically says not to do. Now, outside of those situations, you can go. I mean, even if there was two unbelievers and they were getting married, okay? If they were a man and a woman getting married, right? And they were unbelievers, you could go, right? Because you're not, they're not believers who are disobeying God. When you have two people, when you have a homosexual wedding or you have a believer marrying an unbeliever, they're absolutely disregarding Scripture, and you should not attend. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yes.
We don't rejoice in evil, and it doesn't matter if it's somebody in your family. Jesus has said in another place that it's wrong to love your son or your daughter more than you love me. God is not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness. Psalm chapter 5, verse 4 says, "For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity." Can you believe the Bible says that? You hate all workers of iniquity. "You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man." God's got pretty strong feelings about this, and you should too. Now, if a person repents and comes to Christ, God will accept them. But if they're going to stick their arm out and stiff arm him, okay, they're dealing with nothing but the wrath of God. They're under his judgment. Even in Proverbs, real close to where we're at, I want to read one more. Proverbs chapter 3, Proverbs 3, 32 and 33. Everybody doing okay?
Yes.
It's a little warm in here. I wasn't talking about the temperature. Proverbs 3, verse 32 and 33 says, "For the perverse person," there's that word again, "the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret counsel is with the upright." Listen to this. "The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just." Wow. Oh, man. And listen, we every day we have to show love to people who are outside of Christ. We can do it. You can do it without affirming sin. And do it every day. And God will give you wisdom to do it. And you should look for opportunities to do it. It can be done. Everybody okay with that? Watch out for the wicked man who speaks perverse things. And he's trying to get people to leave the path of righteousness. He's distorting the truth. He's turning things on their head. It's happening all around us. But wisdom will protect you. Wisdom will protect you. Shall we talk about the immoral woman next? I'm just getting started.
I'm just trying to figure out how, if one of my kids was marrying somebody who wasn't a believer, not going to their wedding. I mean, I know it doesn't matter what I think, but I can't imagine.
I don't think there's very many things that God asks us to do that are very easy. We have to depend on his wisdom and not lean on our own understanding. I know it's hard.
Pastor, years ago when I got married, we were unequally yoked. I was warned by not one, but three men in the church, and I did not listen.
Warned to not marry him?
Yes.
I didn't hear you.
And can you give testimony to whether they were right or not?
They were absolutely right. It is devastation after devastation. And you don't, you're not the only one that pays the price. Like, I'm not the only one that pays the price for sinning against God's word or not following God's word like that. It's like you're trying to dig your way out of a hole that just never ends. There is a reason God says that in his word. Absolutely.
Absolutely. You just have to decide, does God know what he's talking about or not?
And I said, "Fine, Lord, I'll be the fair warning. I'll tell them all."
Now listen, God forgives.
Yes, he does.
But there are still consequences.
Amen. And might I add, too, the brothers who said that to me said it very lovingly, like I knew it was Jesus. I knew at the time. Like I remember one said, "Have you ever sat and thought, man, maybe he's not the one. Maybe he's walked away from me."
Well, and that's a good point to bring. That's a good point to bring up.
Because
Kathy, like you were saying, I can't imagine not going to. But you can speak the truth in love. Son, I love you. I will always love you. And you're free to make this decision. I don't agree with it. I'll always be there for you. But I can't celebrate this because this is not right. You should know better. You can speak the truth in love.
It's another reason to pray for all the pastors, though, because they shouldn't be married in the first place, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, they can go to the courthouse, but if they're a true pastor, they probably shouldn't be marrying them, and then they're causing all of you to be in a hard situation.
It's tough.
Or their friend just can get a
certificate. Yeah, now they can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We were looking at a list, and I saw somebody I went to school with is ordained, along with like several Hollywood celebrities. His name was like in the list alphabetically. Like George Clooney got ordained, and so did my friend from Harlem High School. on this site, where all you got to do is just sign up, and you can get a thing. Like, wow, that's crazy.
That's not, yeah, you're not taking classes or anything.
No,
nope,
they just yep.
And you're ordained to marry someone.
And that's good enough for.
Bam, for the certificate.
Yeah. Let's move on to the immoral woman. Somebody tried to distract me from her.
Yeah.
All right. Verse 16. Proverbs 2:16, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. What people say, again, it's so important. It's her words. She flatters with her words. You know what it is to flatter? To praise someone insincerely or excessively. And flattery overdoes it, right? And flattery lifts a person to a place they don't belong. It's not reality, right? And if you're walking in wisdom, you know yourself better than anybody else, right? And when someone starts telling me how great I am, I know right away they're off track. Because I know myself and I know I'm not that great, right? But people who aren't walking in wisdom, they'll fall for that stuff. You see lots of examples of that in Scripture, and they tried to do it to Jesus. Oh, good teacher. We know you show no partiality to any man. You teach us the way of God. Should we pay taxes to Caesar or not? And Jesus saw through it all. You hypocrites. Yeah, that's flattery.
And this was men.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're just not talking about women here.
We're not just talking about men and women. Yeah, men can do this too.
That's right.
The seductress, she uses flattery to make men stumble. And we talk about adultery. It goes both ways. It goes both ways. And people start telling subtle lies, you know, like, you deserve much better. I understand what you're going through. I can give you what you're looking for. If I were in that position, this is what I would do. You deserve so much better. All this is garbage. It's all garbage. Oh, especially this one. I wrote this one down. You're amazing. You know better. You know better, but it works. It works. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 7, verse 15.
Corey, if you don't accept that, sometimes it might be true. Could it mean that you have low self-esteem?
No. Well, see, wisdom teaches us not to worry about our self-esteem. We glory in Jesus Christ. We don't glory in ourselves.
Well, we'll reflect back on
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Someone compliments us.
We praise God.
It's Jesus.
Yep. Yes. Corrie Ten Boom. I read Corrie Ten Boom. You know, she survived the Holocaust, and she became a speaker and was going around speaking. And she said that after she would speak, people would come up to her and lavish her with praise. And she said this is how she dealt with it. Every time someone would come up and thank her, she thought of it as collecting flowers. And she would collect all those flowers through the day, and she would go home, and she would give those flowers to Jesus. Because she knew it was him, not her. Here's a seductress in Proverbs chapter 7, verse 15. We'll be getting to this, you know, in a few weeks. Proverbs chapter 7. But this young man, he goes out walking, and he's at fault too, because he goes walking to a place he shouldn't go walking. That's trespassing, by the way. You know that as soon as you start walking toward a place you know you shouldn't be, you're already trespassing.
Yes. Yeah.
Can we all just be real here for a second?
Yes, we can.
You know the path that takes you to trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
And you know you shouldn't be walking on it.
Right.
And now what you got to do is train yourself to stop it. So anyway, this young man, he's walking toward a place he shouldn't be because he knows there's a certain girl that lives there. And chapter 7, verse 15, she's talking to him when he comes by. And she says, "So I came out to meet you diligently to seek your face, and I have found you." And every time I read that, I know that that woman said that to him, but she would have said it to the first sucker that walked by. Whatever fool came by, she was going to get him. She says to him later, "My husband's not home." That's a red flag. Thank you. That's a red flag.
Yeah.
My husband's not home. Proverbs 2, verse 17 says, "She forsakes the companion of her youth." She's married. She's an adulteress. Verse 17, "And she forgets the covenant of our God." Not only is she sinning against her husband, but her promise that she made was to God too, and she's sinning against him. It's in Malachi 2, 14 to 16. We don't have time to read all these together, but it says that God is a witness between you and your wife. When you say, "I do," God says, "Okay, I do too." And you remember Jesus said, it's God that takes two people and joins them together and makes them one. That's God is involved in this covenant. It's a husband and wife and God. It's a covenant. It's a promise. And by the way, when you make a promise and you don't keep it, that is a lie. You are a liar. Any promise that you make. And by the way, Jesus even said you shouldn't even make promises. But when you tell somebody yes, you should keep your word. And you tell somebody no, you should keep your word. And we're told here, verse 18 and 19, her house leads down to death and her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. Now, this may be speaking a bit hyperbolic to make the point, but I'll tell you this, it's almost impossible for people to make it back from this. It's not impossible, but the Bible says it's almost impossible. You sin. Not only do you sin against your spouse, not only do you sin against God, but we're also told you sin against your own soul. You destroy your soul. But people do make it back. People can be forgiven. Let's finish with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. You know why that's so important? Because we're so easily deceived. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Can that be made any more clear? No, it cannot. And neither can verse 11. Because people can make it back, right? You can be saved from these things. Verse 11 says, "And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Thank you, Lord. Jesus died on the cross for those sins too, right? But in order to receive that gift, you have to repent, turn from it, put your faith in Jesus Christ and follow him, and you will be saved, right? And then you go. You're justified the moment you give your life to Christ, you're justified. But then you spend the rest of your life overcoming sin. Not walking in it anymore. Yeah. Sanctification. It's where we're growing in holiness. Overcoming sin. And that process, beautiful process, that goes on from the day you're saved till the day you go to heaven. But you don't have permission to walk in sin anymore. You remember Jesus said to the woman who was caught in adultery,
"Go and sin
no more. I do not condemn you. Now go and don't do it again." Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this time in your word. And I am so thankful that your word is very clear on these things. There is absolutely no confusion about the wisdom that we've studied today. And Father, I pray that you'll help us to hide these things in our heart so that we might not sin against you. Please, Lord, guide us by your wisdom. And please protect us from the wolves that are seeking to steal, kill, and destroy. And Father, before we go, I thank you for washing us clean by the blood of Jesus Christ and giving us hope for eternal life. Thank you, Lord. We love you so much. Please continue to bless this day and use it for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.